You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everybody. This is MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz of MLB.com, and happy to be joined today by Tom Singer, Pirates beat writer for MLB.com, talking about a Buccos team that still very much in the hunt in the NL Central, but dealt a tough blow with an injury to Andrew McCutchen. I would say would-be MVP Andrew McCutchen. We'll see how long he is out and how much that affects the Pirates. But I want to bring in Tom here to kind of talk about that injury a little bit. Obviously, it was an interesting one because it came it comes a day after he fractures his 11th rib, and it comes a day after he was intentionally hit by a pitch. In Arizona, and obviously a lot of machinations going on behind the scenes there as far as Diamondbacks going for retaliation for Paul Goldschmidt getting hit in the hand, and a lot of talks about baseball's long-lasting, still-alive code, the infamous unwritten rules. Tom, what was your read on that whole situation, first of all, and how that all went down? I'm sure McCutchen went into that game last Saturday knowing some retaliation was going to happen, especially from that Diamondbacks team that kind of developed a reputation for that sort of thing. But did people sort of anticipate this coming? And, what was your thought on that situation?
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, Andrew himself expected to be a target. And what he was most upset about is that it did not happen until the end of the game. He had several at-bats. So in fact, he said, if you're going to hit me the first time at bat. So he resented the way it went down. He resented the pitch itself. Very dangerous. Not head level, but obviously got him flush on the spine. The old school guys really didn't have a problem with it. I mean, that's the way it's an unwritten rule, but it's certainly an accepted rule. Those things happen. So they anticipated retaliation, even though the pitch to Goldschmidt from Nestor Fierro, it definitely seemed accidental. And if you look at the video, it wasn't really that far inside. Paul was anticipating stepping into that pitch, got hit on the hand. Anyway, regardless, they anticipated it. They really had no problem with it taking place. They just didn't appreciate the time it took place.
Yeah, it was curious. It was definitely curious timing. And like I said, I mean, the Diamondbacks have kind of developed this reputation. Kevin Powers last offseason did a radio interview where he talked about an eye for an eye sort of mentality on the pitching staff. And it was tough to see that play out with McCutchen. Now, I mean, we might be reading too much into it. Who knows? But certainly, the next day for him to suffer, that rib fracture, you do wonder, was it just mere coincidence? Was he compensating in some way in his swing that, leads to the injury, a day after getting plunked in the back like that? All we'd be doing, Tom, is speculating, but what do you think, Andrew, what was his takeaway on that?
Well, Andrew himself is the one that is least sure that there was no connection. Everybody else has kind of been taking the high road, saying that it's just a bad coincidence. McCutchen, obviously, it's his body. I had asked him immediately after he came out of that game on Sunday, I asked him if he was able to take his normal warm-ups, or was there some, did he have to ease up because he felt tightness in the back, which he acknowledged. Because I felt, if nothing else, the fact that he couldn't normally prepare for the game, his body wasn't quite in tune. Like if he couldn't do his normal stretching, might have affected him. That seems very logical to me. And he acknowledged that he did have to ease up a little bit, didn't have the normal. Some of his pregame time he had to spend getting treatment rather than going through the normal loosening up process. But basically, Clint Hurdle flatly said there's no connection. But, Clint's an old school guy, and he's not going to throw any more oil on the fire. I don't think we'll ever know. Like I said, at worst, it's just a bad coincidence because, do have A leads to B, and you kind of wonder how much of a straight line you can draw between the two. Personally, yeah. I mean, we know pitchers have a sore elbow, and they're pitching, and they favor the elbow, and it hurts their shoulder. There's a lot of interconnected parts in the body. So who knows? I don't think we'll ever know it. You know, medically speaking, there's been a split opinion. Some doctors, I've read comments, flatly said that there is no connection. You know, other people who have a pretty good knowledge of the body, some have said that there's a high probability that one led to the other. But we'll never know.
Yeah, I mean, we know baseball players are such creatures of routine and habit as it is, so anything that throws them off routine-wise or mechanically, you know, it could be dangerous. I don't know, but talk about getting thrown out of whack. I mean, now the Pirates are without the guy leading them in batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, home runs, doubles, triples, RBIs, walks, runs, you name it. You know, Andrew McCutchen was, like I said, probably the hands-down early favorite to win that back-to-back NL MVP. And for all we know, maybe he still will, but he's got to get back on the field. What's, you know, any early guesses as to how long of a – I know they're trying to avoid the DL, so I guess it'll be kind of a touch-and-go situation the next few days.
Yeah, that surprised me. I mean, your broken rib, you figure how quickly can you heal from that, but they are not putting him on the DL immediately. I think by the early part of the week, if he's not playing, he probably will go on the DL. Not necessarily a good sign that they're not putting him on the DL, because the one thing you don't want to do is rush somebody back from that kind of injury. Seems to me it'd be very easily re-aggravated. And it's also the indication of how thin they are on the major league level that they would take a chance on maybe having him come back before he's 100%, because they acknowledge that they absolutely need him.
Yeah. I mean, McCutchen is the key to that all-world outfield they've assembled. They also got some nice depth pieces as far as the outfield goes. So a lot of prospect chips, and that kind of leads me to the next discussion here, with the trade deadline having just passed. The Pirates were obviously rumored to, you know, potentially be able to pull off something of big impact on the pitching staff with that outfield depth. I'm talking here about, you know, a John Lester or even a David Price. In both cases, though, the trading teams, talk about the Red Sox and Rays, they went for major league talent. And that was a surprise to some. From your perspective, Tom, were you surprised by how that all played out? Did you think the Pirates might have a better chance at either one of those guys than ended up being the case?
I wasn't surprised as much as I think the GM, Neil Huntington, was. I think he kind of loosened his hold on some of the organization's top prospects, and it made what's acknowledged as an overall better offer for Price to the Rays. But the Rays, kind of being on the edge of the contention, wanted some players who could immediately help on the major league level, and most of the Pirates' top prospects are below the AAA level, so, you know, a couple years away. And, you know, Joe Maddon wanted somebody that he could plug into the rotation to take Price's place as well as a position player, which is, you know, what he got in Drew Smyly from the Tigers and Nick Franklin from Seattle as a three-way deal. So I think, you know, I wasn't surprised, because actually, you know, the way the Rays had been playing prior to the deadline, there was a lot of conjecture whether they would even move Price, which they had to do because they had no chance of re-signing him. But once they did stick to that original perception that he would be dealt, I certainly wasn't surprised that they sought major league talent in return. And once again, getting back to the point of the Pirates not having the depth on the major league level, you know, they couldn't compete with that, you know, with and, of course, your Lester, you know, even more so. I mean, they got Cespedes, obviously power-hitting outfielder, and there's nobody that the Pirates could offer that would, you know, compare to that. You know, one interesting thing about the McCutchen injury, Alvarez, Pedro is still on a bereavement list. Neil Walker earlier this week came back from back tightness but had to leave the game when he had a recurrence of the back tightness. So approaching the weekend, there's a prospect that none of those three would be in the lineup, and the Pirates have never had a lineup that didn't have any of those since the three of them. I think late June 2010 is when all three were with the Pirates, and since, you know, for the last 4 years, the lineup has included at least one of those three. This would be the first time that they have to go to battle without any of them.
Interesting. And then also, you know, obviously Alvarez is dealing with some serious defensive issues, bad case of the yips, and some talk of, you know, maybe having to move him off his position. But that's hard to do in a in a pennant race. And then on top of that, you know, they hope to have Garrett Cole back soon in that rotation, but he's had some difficulty down there in his rehab progression. But all that leads me to the waiver wire, Tom. I mean, last year these guys were pretty active. Justin Morneau and Marlon Byrd both added in August. Do you get any sense of possibilities for them here this month?
Well,
especially with where they are in the pecking order.
They'll definitely be looking. I mean, that's the fallback from the trade deadline inactivity. I think the one big difference is last year they were in a very solid postseason position, and they made those August 31 deals for Justin Morneau and Marlon Byrd with the postseason in mind, you know, beef up the roster for the postseason. Obviously, they'd be looking at a different situation this season. They'd just be trying to get to the postseason. So, I mean, that kind of changes how much salary you're willing to take on and what kind of players that you'd be looking for. I think primarily the number one target probably has become, the bullpen. The rotation, even though it's kind of makeshift right now with Locke and Vance Worley in there, the rotation actually has been doing a pretty decent job, but the bullpen has been really touched up the last couple of weeks, which is ironic because one of the guys they got rid of, Brian Morris, is doing really well with the Marlins, somebody they could certainly use right now, but they don't have him. Right, so I think definitely bullpen help is what they're looking for, and relief pitchers are definitely are available. It's just a matter of selecting which one you want to go for and how much you're willing to give up.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it progresses, and we'll see how Andrew McCutchen progresses. I know pretty much all of baseball, with the exception of Cardinals fans and Reds fans and Brewers fans, want to see that guy back on the field. So we'll see how that all plays out for them. But on behalf of Tom Singer, this is Anthony Cashman. I just want to thank you for listening in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates Edition.